God. I can't say no to Rabbi Rachmiel. And I'm not really fully retired. You haven't taken me out of mothballs in order to get here. I'm busier now than I've been before. I've only retired as Rav of the shul that I founded in Har Nof, Kehilat Zichron Yosef. But I still have a lot of other things that I'm doing, and I hope that the Rebbe Mishram should give me and my wife Gesund for many years, that we should be able to continue do good things and come here another 10, 20, 30 years. All right. This is the first time, by the way, that I've handed out a source sheet. First time. And I do it because I want you to have certain information right there in front of you, and I hope that you will find it sufficiently significant that you may want to take it and cherish it and maybe even review it. But if at least it will help you understand better what I'm saying, also dayenu. Unfortunately, and so it has been for 59 years, there are segments of our community in which there is so much confusion and so much machlekes whenever it comes to Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut. Oh gosh, the stuff that you hear, if I would ever make a collection of all the nonsense that I've heard, it would be... It would not be something to laugh about, it would be something to cry about. So what I hope I will be able to do is give you Mishnah Sedura Uberura, clear. Number one, on your sheet, number one, is from the Shari Tshuvah Rabbeinu Yonah. Shar Shlishi, Shari Tshuvah Rabbeinu Yonah, Rishon, great sefer. The Dai says, I'm not going to read it all, so just follow me, and when I skip, I'll tell you I'm skipping. The Dai ki hamalot ha'elyonot nimsru b'mitzvot aseh. Those ideas and feelings that people are supposed to aspire to, what we have to rise to, are all expressed as positive commandments in the Torah. The means, the vehicle by which the Rebbeinu Shem transmits to us what it is that he wants from us so that we should rise in our appreciation of the Rebbeinu Shem and Torah, our mitzvah saseh, for example, ma'alat ha-bechira, the idea that man has free will, as it says, u'bacharta b'chaim, ma'alos Talmud Torah, the great ma'ala of Talmud Torah, shenama v'dibartabam, ma'alat lechet b'darkei Hashem, one of the great mitzvahs of Torah is to go in the ways of God. Just as he is merciful, you be merciful. Just as he is compassionate, you be compassionate. As it says, V'alachta bidrachav. I want to focus on the next three sentences, four sentences. One of these great ideas and mitzvahs in Torah to strive for is Ma'alot hitbonein b'gedulat Hashem. The Bala of studying and contemplating the greatness of God. Shenama, v'yotata hayom v'ashivos elu b'vecha, ki Hashem l'kim, you'll know, and you have to come to the recognition that God is the greatest of all gods, of all forces in the world. He is the world. V'tavid ama, Hashem yishamayim ishkif, al b'nei adam, lirot hayesh, maskil doresh et l'kim. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Here comes what I wanted to hear. Umalo zichron chasodav v'hitbonein behem. These five words. We have to remember God's kindness. And we have to ponder and meditate about them. God does great things for his people. And it's a mitzvah to study them and to understand them. Shenema, as it says, v'zachartet kol haderech, remember the whole journey through which God took you, v'nama, the David Omar, the Yidboninu Chazdei Hashem. David says you have to think about, meditate, ponder, get to the very depths of God's kindness. That's in Yud Zayin Shar Shlishi. Just let's go over to the little paragraph Yud Chet. V'hinei nidbayer v'torah Onesh Bitul HaMitzvah. Shenema. Oru Rashelo Yukimet Divrei HaTorah Azot LaSodotam. Yorek Kizeh Nema Al Bitul Masa HaMitzvahs. There is a curse on somebody who's mevatel mitzvot haseh. Amongst those mitzvot haseh, the Sharit Tshuva has listed the idea of being mitvonein v'chazdei Hashem. I have to be able to see what are the great kindnesses that God did for me. That's what this year is about. We are going to fulfill Yehiratzon Ufanecha. We should fulfill the mitzvah of Yidbonein v'chazdei Hashem. The Rebbeinu has done for us in this generation what he didn't do in 2,000 years for Klal Yisrael, and it's a mitzvah for us to be fully aware of the greatness of Chazdei Hashem. That's all. That's what this shir is about. And I'm going to take you step by step, and really it's going to be a study of Rashi, the great Rebbe. Number two is a pasuk in the middle of the Tochacha, in Parshat Chukotai, V'hashimoti ani et ha'aretz, I will make the land desolate, V'shomimu aleha oyeveichem hayoshvim ba, your enemies who live in the land will be desolate. Rashi says, remember this Rashi. It's a great Rashi. For that matter, every Rashi is a great Rashi. But some are greater. V'hashimoti ani et ha'aretz, I will make the land desolate. You understand? This pasuk is surrounded by horrible curses on one side, horrible curses on the other side, and smack in the middle of the Tochacha comes a pasuk that Rashi says, Zumi da Tova Yisrael. This is a great thing for Klal Yisrael. Shelo yimtzu ha'oivim nachas ruach ba'artzom. The enemies of Israel will never find contentment in the land. Why? It will be desolate of its inhabitants. There was once that I had maybe a few minutes, seconds of a doubt in my mind. After Rashi wrote this, did Rashi ever get up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night thinking, oy vey, maybe 100 years from now, 200 years from now, some people are going to come to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to settle the land. The Japanese are going to come. The Chinese are going to come, and they're going to turn this Eretz Yisrael. And take a look at what I wrote. Did he get up in the middle of the night? Did Rashi get up in the middle of the night? All shaken by the possibility that somebody may come at some moment in history and prove him to be wrong. Guaranteed, don't worry, he never got up in the middle of the night in a cold sweat, because Rashi read the pasuk, and the pasuk is one of the greatest brachas that the Rebbe Shem gave Pansel, right in the middle of the Tochacha. You're going to go off into Golus, but you should know nobody is ever going to be able to settle Eretz Yisrael. Nobody's going to take your place. Eretz Yisrael is going to sit around and it's going to wait for you. It may take 1800 years, it may take 1900 years, but Eretz Yisrael is going to be desolate. To understand the Rashi a little better, I bring the Ramban, one of the famous Rambans in Chumash. The Chen Mashama, the Kawan, it says over here, Shama Mo Aleo, Yevechem, your enemies will be desolate. He besora Tova. This is good news. Mivaseret v'chol ha'goliot, it comes to tell all exiles, she'ein arzenu mekabelet eto yevenu. Ein arzenu mekabelet eto yevenu. Our land will never receive its enemies. The gamzu rayo gedola, this is a great proof. V'haftocha lanu, what a promise this is. And he says, ki lo timtza v'chol ha'yishuv, you will not find on this entire globe a land asher hayo tovo urechava v'asher haitano shevet me'olam. You will not find a land that was as settled and as prosperous and as fruitful, and now he chareva kamoa, that is so desolate. Ki me'oz yotzanu mimena, from the time we went out of that land, lo kibla uma v'lashon, she didn't receive any nation, And they're all trying. Ramban wrote this about 600-700 years ago, in the 13th century. And all of them are trying to settle in. They can't do it. What a promise. What a promise. The Ramban came on Aliyah in 1267. He came to Yerushalayim, and there were a total of two Jews in the city. Two. With the Ramban, three. The two people that he found in the city were people who are in the dyeing business. You know, not you know, you know what kind of dyeing I'm talking about. You know, colors, dyeing, D-E-Y-E-I-N-G. Two dyers. When I get stuck in traffic in Yerushalayim, and when 20 years ago it took me from Har Nof to the center of town 7-8 minutes, and it can take me a half an hour or longer, and I'm caught in an absolute impossible gridlock, and I'm getting ready to get upset, and I want to start honking at that horn, I say to myself, Gold, take a look at this. Would the Ramban ever have believed that Yerushalayim is going to have traffic jams? Would David HaMelech have believed it? Yerushalayim bigger than... from three people in the days of the Ramban. By the way, on Shabbos, they got people to come in from surrounding villages so they'd have a minyan in Yerushalayim. Gosh, the Ramban, I'm sure he sees this and he takes a look down at Yerushalayim and he says, what a blessed traffic jam there is. You understand? Rashi wrote it, the Ramban wrote it, and they never looked back because they knew nobody will ever be able to come and settle this land. Though, as the Ramban says, everybody tried. Yerushalayim, for example, was conquered 86 times. There's no city in the world that has a record like that. 86 times. Everybody wants Yerushalayim. Everybody wants Yerushalayim. Oh, you want a raya to the Ramban? Before I left the house, I got it off the internet. The famous description. Mark Twain visited Palestine in 1867. You have to be prepared with a cold glass of May Aden. Listen to what Mark Twain writes. There is not a solitary village throughout the whole extent of the valley of Jezreel, not for 30 miles in either direction. One may ride 10 miles hereabouts and not see 10 human beings. The sort of solitude to make one dreary. You want dreariness? Come to the Galilee. Jericho lies a ruin, untenanted by any living creature, a desolate country whose soil is rich enough but is given wholly to weeds, a silent, mournful expanse, a desolation. We never saw a human being on the whole route, hardly a tree or a shrub anywhere. Do you hear the description? Mark Twain, just look out the windows over here. And you'll know the Chesed Hashem, the Kiyum HaNevuah that we're going to learn in a moment. Hardly a shrub or a tree anyway, even the olive tree and the cactus, those fast friends of a worthless soil, have almost deserted this country. Of all the lands there are for dismal scenery, Palestine must be the prince. So was Shavayim. Oh, said he. I'd love to see Mark Twain's face as I take him for a drive across Emek Yisrael. Turn at Zichron Yaakov. I usually go every so often. I go visit my son who lives in Afula, and you have to cross all of Emek Yisrael. He wouldn't believe where he was. the hills barren and dull, the valleys unsightly deserts, inhabited by beggars and ghastly sores, Palestine sits in sackcloth and ashes, desolate and unlovely. Is that what the Ramban said? Ah, now we come to number 5. Number 5 and 5a. Or, no, let's go right after 3. Sanhedrin. You see what it says? Sanhedrin Tzadikhes. Omar Rabba Abba. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Daf Tzadikhes. Omar Alava. Omar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said, Ein l'choketz megula mizeh. There is no greater revealed end of days than this. Shenemar, as it says. And Rabbi Abba quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. Va'atem hore Yisrael, and you mountains of Israel, amchechem titenu, give out your branches, uferyechem tisu, and your fruit you shall carry. La'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, ki kervu lavo, for the time that they are coming, returning is coming close. Yechezkel says that the land will keep its promise to Klal Yisrael, and the land will already begin to know in advance of our coming back that we're coming, and it's going to become fruitful, and it will only give out its fruit to the ministering hands of Klal Yisrael. 1900 years, it was desolate. And then Jews started coming. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. We're exporting food to the countries in Europe. 100 years ago, there's nothing here. This is the fulfillment. You look out the window here, and you see the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Yechezkel. And Rashi says, immediately to the left over there, Uferichem tisu la'ami Yisrael ki kervo lavo. No, right below Sanhedrin Samechez. You know, I'm not too good at putting this stuff together. I never went to kindergarten. I don't know how to paste stuff together. Just go immediately below Sanhedrin. Megulam Yisrael, kishetitein Eretz Yisrael, pirya ba'ayin yofa. When Eretz Yisrael is going to give out its fruits in abundance, oz yikorev hakeitz, then you know that the end is coming. Ve'em l'chokeitz megulam Yisrael, there is no greater end than this. That means, I don't know how long the end takes. I don't know how long it takes. But that something has happened over here, which is an unbelievable, remarkable, miraculous expression of God's chesed. It's happened here. It's happening all the time. 100 years it's been happening. I always like to tell the story of my prediction. My prediction that the Soviet Union was going to collapse in advance of the collapse. In advance. In December of 1983, I went to Russia with a friend of mine. Of course, I just want you to understand, it was not like today. Today, everybody get on a plane, you go to Russia, you come back from Russia, you do business in Russia. I went when only heroes went. Men of great courage. I hardly see a smile. They're all taking me seriously. But it's true, there were two people a month that went from Eretz Yisrael to Russia to maintain contact. It was really undercover stuff. Cloak and dagger. Don't ask. Boy, was I a hero. KGB caught me as soon as I came into the country. They grilled me for 45 minutes that my heart was able to take that. Boy, my heart can take a great deal. Anyway, the long and short of the story is the last day we were in Russia, we left all the food that we had. I went with Rabbi Mala Galinsky, who used to be the head of Shalavim, and the last day we left all of our food with Jews in Moscow, and we got onto a Vashlugana airflot plane going to Germany, of all things. I'd go any place to get out of there. And you know, you couldn't order a Bornstein's OU glatt kosher meal on Airflot. So we were hungry, we were very hungry, very, very hungry. Toward the end of the meal, I see they're bringing dessert. Dessert, well, it looked like fruit. And then we got the fruit. They were apples. I never saw apples as bad as that in my life. They were little verschlugene, half-rotten apples that no self-respecting human being would even call it. Because I remember the first apples that came on the market in Eretz Yisrael were in 1955. I was learning here in Yeshiva. And then, of course, I was the hotshot American. You know, I knew what an apple was. I came from New York. We know what apples were. And they had these little apples, and you know, it wasn't really much to write home about. But by the time, 83, by the time I went to Russia, you could get every conceivable kind of apple over here. Beautiful. And here is the Soviet Union on their national air carrier, giving out verschlugene, miserable, unedible apples. So I told Rabbi Galinsky, these guys don't have a future, not a chance in the world. They may be able to make all sorts of nuclear weapons, but if they can't grow an apple, they don't have a future. Of course I was proven right. Of course I was proven right. But when the Rabbeinu Shel Olam says that Eretz Yisrael is going to give out its fruit, B'ayin Yafed, this is a promise, all you have to do is walk out wherever you go, and you know what you see? Chesed Hashem. You see the kiyum of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's Nevuah right here in this country. Every day, any place you go. If you think about it, if you're mitbone in the Chesed Hashem, you're going to see it. If you're not mitbone in the Chesed Hashem, you're not going to see the kiyum of Nevuah, you're not going to see his chesed, you're not going to see the outpouring of his kindness. It's unbelievable. We're surrounded by it all the time. I remember once, one night late at night, I went shopping in some supermarket. It doesn't exist anymore, the supermarket there. Outside of Harnof. And then some hotshot guy in Harnof that I hardly know, only in passing, starts up with me. I think I'm an easy mark, you know, like they like to start up with me, you know, I'm the resident religious Zionist in Harnof, and something bad had happened that day. So he tells me, "You're still a Zionist?" We happen to be in the fruit and vegetable section. So I told him, "Shananacha, for shame on you! The tomatoes know what Eretz Yisrael is. And you have the chutzpah to say that in front of these apples and tomatoes and all the rest. Here is Chesed Hashem." He didn't know what I was talking about. He didn't know. He didn't have a clue. Still doesn't. We've gone, you understand? We've gone through it. Number one, you have to understand, Rashi never had a moment of sleeplessness, because he saw what the Rebbeinu Shem said in Torah, "V'shamamu aleha yaveichem," your enemies will be desolate. You can bet your life on it. Emes. Moshe emes v'teirase emes. More than that, we are the ones who can now testify that it was true. We walk around over here, we can testify. Rashi was right, the Ramban was right, the Rebbeinu Shem was right, Yecheskel was right. You see it. Yitboninu Chasdei Hashem. By the way, this idea that the land will give out its fruits when Klal Yisrael are on the way home is not simply a nice agadita. It happens to be the yesod of a halacha that you should be aware of, because you do it three times a day. I have the Gemara in Megillah, where the Gemara, the only other place in Shas where this pasuk in Yecheskel is quoted, when the Gemara asks, why is the bracha of Baruch Aleinu in Shmona Esrei before the bracha of Geula Teka B'Shofar Godol Lecheiruseinu? Why is Baruch Aleinu before Teka B'Shofar? Because the land is going to give out its fruit when it's time for Klal Yisrael to come back. Mekabetz Nidchei Amo Yisrael. It's a chelek of the... of, you're davening every day, three times a day. A yesod ha-hashkafa. That you can walk around and not only say that you see it, Your being here means that you are part of that Kibbutz Galios. It's unbelievable. You're the whole bunch of you, you're a bunch of living Shemona Esrays. And you didn't know it till now. And there the Gemara says, Umaro Loma Kibbutz Galios Lach Abichas Hashanim. Why did the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah establish Kibbutz Galios after Birchas Hashanim? The Ksiv Va'afem Hara Yisrael Am Tachem Titein Ufer Dichem Tisul Am Yisrael Ki Kervu Lapo. And there Rashi says Alma Kibbutz Galios Be'ez Birchas Hashanim Hi. When there's Birchas Hashanim, when the land is giving out its fruit, then there is Kibbutz Galios, which means that we are experiencing Birchas Hashanim, Birchas Haaretz, and we are experiencing Kibbutz Galios. We've gone from three Jews in Yerushalayim in 1267. I don't know how many more. There may have been 1,000 or 2,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael. And today, what did they announce yesterday? There are 5,600,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Do you know the mathematics? From 1,000 Jews, possibly in the days of the Rambam, we're now at 5.5 million. And by the way, oh yeah, this you have to know. This you have to know. In 1990, there was an article in the Jerusalem Post. In fact, it was a very good article. The article said the following, that by the end of the decade, give or take a few years, man, woman, or child is going to walk off a plane onto the tarmac at Ben Gurion Airport, and a dramatic change is going to take place in all of Jewish history. By the end of the decade, give or take a few years, this way or that way, man, woman, or child is going to walk off a plane onto Admas Eretz Yisrael, and you know what's going to happen at that moment? At that moment in time, Eretz Yisrael is going to become the largest Jewish community in the world. It has already been confirmed by the Jewish press, the Jewish agency, and a whole slew of others that Eretz Yisrael already and for a while has been the largest Jewish community in the world. Now make no mistake, don't think that I'm that brilliant, that I remember all the articles that I read in the Jerusalem Post. I remembered that one because I wrote it. And I take pride in having predicted in 1990 what by 2000 or 2002 in fact became true. Which of course means that Jewish history is being written here, despite the fact that you may have other ideas about where Jewish history is being written, any place from New York to Los Angeles. It's being written here. Being written here. We are in the process of Kibbutz Galios. We are in the process of a gula. Do I know how long it will take? Are there ups and downs? Are there serious problems over here? Of course there are serious problems. But you have to be able to get a picture from Psukim in Tanakh, from Rashi, Ramban. What's going on? Chazdei Hashem. You have to see Chazdei Hashem. Next page. Oh, this is a Rashi. A few years ago I decided, this Rashi, I'm going to make sure that everybody knows this Rashi. I don't know why it gets lost in the shuffle. It happens to be in one of the four parashas in Tefillin, you understand? You walk around with this, you're Tefillin. When you will come to the land of the Canaan that God swore to your fathers, and he will give it to you, lick this Rashi, you should learn it over and over again and know it ba'al peh. Tehei be'inecho ki'ilu netona lecho bo bayom. Eretz Yisrael should be in your eyes as though God gave it to you today. Ve'al tehei be'inecho ki'irushas avos, it shall not be in your eyes like an inheritance from your ancestors. Everybody knows the two Rashis in Sefer Dvarim about Torah, the Chol Yom, Yiyu Beinecho Chachadoshim. You have to be exhilarated with a great joy for Torah every day as though you received Torah today. Rashi says at the end of Parashas Bo, you have to look at Eretz Yisrael every day as though the Rebbein Shem gave it to you today, gave you the great Matana. Kal v'chomer on the day that he in fact did give it to you. That's my Simcha of Yom Ha'atzmaut. Tehei be'einecha. Not to Yerusha Sofos. Not like something that we take for granted. We get on a plane in New York, 9 hours, 45 minutes. They show Pashtun in the movies that you should never even look at on earth, and you, Chas v'Shalom, you should watch it in heaven. And you come over here, most probably you complain that never, the seats on El Al, they're made for midgets. You understand? Complain, you kishkis out. And you understand, you made over here, you were zeichet to what Moshe Rabbeinu was not zeichet. You're zeichet to what Doris of our parents, grandparents, ancestors for 2,000 years would have given everything in the world for it. 9 hours and 45 minutes. And God, if they're late, boy, are we upset. And then when you have to stand around and wait for your baggage to come out. Don't ever worry, if you're on a plane with me, you're going to be absolutely sure my baggage is going to be last. Everybody gets theirs first. I'm the last one. Boy, I have a lot of things that I don't complain about. I don't complain about the baggage. I don't complain about the traffic jams in Yerushalayim. I may get to something that I do complain about. You hear what Rashi says? By the way, I believe what Rashi is saying is because Torah and Eretz Yisrael are equal. The only two in Torah that are called Morasha. Torah Tzivolonu Moshe Morashaki Lak Yaakov, and in Parashat Be'edah Veheveti Etchem El Haaretz Shenishbati L'Avraham Latet Lachem Morasha Eretz Yisrael and Torah Morasha. You can't look at them as something that's in your back pocket. I got it from my bubba or my zeda, and it has lost all of its meaning to me. Tehei Be'necha Eretz Yisrael should be in your eyes every day, as though it was given to you today. Sholosh Matanis Tovus, there are three great gifts that God gave to the Jewish people. Once said this for a convention of rabbis in the United States. I don't know why they came back for more. They invited me back the following year. Imagine, Rav Shim Ben Yochai, no less a figure than Rav Shim Ben Yochai, says there are three great gifts that were given by the Rebbein Shem to Klal Yisrael: Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. And all of them were given with suffering. In other words, you don't acquire Torah with ease. You acquire Torah by amal, being a melem b'Torah. Can you imagine somebody saying, listen, Rabbi Hashem, you know, olam haba, that's a great gift. You know, but sonim atonis yichya, I don't like to take gifts. You know, keep your pashlug in the gift. Or somebody's going to come and say, listen, Rabbi Shem, learning Torah is a good tzach, you understand? Well, it's great learning Torah, it's a matana. I don't need a matana, keep your matana. But I think sort of people have the feeling that alright, we got a matana from the Rabbi Shem, Eretz Yisrael. Listen, Rabbi Shem, you live in Eretz Yisrael, you understand? I got things to do all over the world. You live in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. You deal with the bureaucracy over there. See how far you're going to get. Yes. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Last time I checked through Shulchan Aruch and through Tanakh, I didn't find any other place in the world where it's a mitzvah to live. It's a mitzvah to live here. Then, of course, when it comes to the Yom Ha'atzmaut bit, they're always the ones who make fun of independence. Independence, independence. Ah. Oh gosh. Chapter 11, Pasuk 11 in Yeshayahu. Unbelievable Pasuk. It happens to be the perek of Mashiach. The Yotza Chotem Yigeza Yishai V'Netzer Misherosh of Yifre. So Rashi, the pasuk says, V'hoya V'yomahu, on that day, Yosef Hashem Sheinit Yado, God is going to send His hand out a second time, Liknot Et She'or Amo, to acquire the remnants of His people that will remain in the world from Ashur, Mitzrayim, Patros, Kush, Elam, Shinar, Hamat, Yeayayam. What moment in history is Yeshayahu talking about? There can only be two possibilities. Possibility number one is he's talking about the time of Bayit Sheni, that after Golos Bavel, the Rebbe Shem is going to stretch out his hand a second time and bring Klal Yisrael back. Rashi says, no, it can't be talking about then. It's going to have to be another time at which the Rebbe Shem is going to bring Jews back to Eretz Israel. Watch what Rashi says. Rashi says it cannot be talking about Bayit Sheni, because in Bayit Sheni, Jews only returned from Babel. Only from Babel they came back. When will there be Jews coming back from all over the world? At some later date in time. We know that later date already. We're it. We are it. Rashi says, Shenit, it's on the line. And you know what Rashi says? Why is this called a second time? Because he will acquire us as it was when he took us out of Mitzrayim, that we were not under any other empire, but we were independent. Kemoshe Kenoam in Mitzrayim, as he acquired them from Mitzrayim, Shahitag Geulatam Beruga. Their redemption was clear. Me'ein Shibud, not being enslaved to anybody. Avol Golus Bayish Geulas Bayish Sheni, the redemption for Bayish Sheni, when we came back with Ezra and Nechemiah, Einam and Aminyan, that doesn't count. Shahare Mishubadim Ayul Torah, because we were part of the Persian Empire. You need anything clearer than that? I just put in over there the Radak on the side, because the Radak elaborates precisely on exactly the same idea that Rashi says. Yosef Hashem Sheni, so that we're in the process. We're in the middle of this process. The Beishim is acquiring us again. I don't know, from 156 countries there are Jews over here. There never was a Kibbutz Goliath like this in all of Jewish history. Unparalleled, unmatched, not only in Jewish history. What has taken place over here over the last 59 or the last 100 years is unparalleled in the history of any country, nation, tongue on the face of this earth. This is not Chazdei Hashem. This is not the fulfillment of the Rebbe Shem's Havtachas. This is not the way an Av HaRachamon deals with his children, B'ni B'chori Yisrael. We're surrounded by it all. First Rashi and Chumash. I always tell my students, and I used to tell the members of my congregation for 20 years, if there is a Rashi that they have to learn, Baal Peh. Somebody shakes you in the middle of the night and says, tell me the first Rashi in Chumash. You should be able to do it. Amar Rav Yitzchak. Rav Yitzchak says, Lo hayo tzorech lahatchil et ha-Torah elo mi'achodesh hazeh lochem. Rashi says the Torah should have started in Parshat Bo. By the way, I believe that with this Rashi I'm going to end this year. Lord, Torah should have begun in Parshat Bo with the first mitzvah. Of course, isn't Torah a book of legislation? Legislation begins in Parshat Bo. This month shall be the first of months unto you. Shehi mitzvah rishona shenitzavu bo Yisrael. It's the first commandment. Which Israel was commanded. Umatan pasach b'bereishis. What is the reason that it began with the book of Genesis? I just want to put in over here a parenthetic comment. I was once saying in shul, I was saying a shir in shul in Har Nof, and I was saying over, it's the Aruch HaShulchan says it, I believe the Malbim also says it, you can't tell it to little kids, you can't tell this to little children. We've always, you know, we were all raised, we all asked the four questions, right? Four questions, right? Tata, I don't know how you did it. Did you learn to do it in Yiddish? When I was a little boy, we learned Tata, Kvel de Freg and the Fear Kashas. By the looks on your face, you don't understand a word of Yiddish. Dad, I'm going to ask you the four questions. So the Malbim and the Aruch HaShulchan seem to say that these are not questions. A question, if it would be, Lama Halayla Zeh. Lama means why is this night different? Ma nishtana, ma has a completely different meaning. Ma is an exclamation of wonder. Ma tovu o halecho Yaakov. What's the meaning of that? Why are your tents good? No, Bilam is saying, my, how goodly are your tents, O Yaakov. Morabu masecho Hashem, how great are your deeds, O God. Hine ma tovu ma noyim sheves achim gam yochad. How wonderful and great it is for brothers to live together. Now he says that Mamishtana is not a question, but my, how different this night is. What a great night. I was saying over this chat in Haggadah, and there was an old Jew in shul. And he says, Rebbe, I'll give you a mashu. Rebbe, I want to tell you something. When I was a little boy, and my Rebbe taught us the first Rashi in Chumash, so he said, "Lo haya tzarich lahaschlus haTorah hazeh elam yachodesh hazeh lechem shemitzvah rishayna oyum ba'tam." And what a great reason that it started with Bereishis, not with a question mark. What a great reason, in order to tell us Shem Yom Korach Masov Higid Liamo, the power of his acts, he told to his people Atetlam Nachlas Goyim, to give them the estate of nations. Shem Yom Ru Umas Haolam Yisrael, if the nations of the world will say to Yisrael, your thieves, listem atem Shekabashtem Arzul Shiva Goyim, you conquered the lands of the seven nations. Heim Omnim Lehem. Klal Yisrael's response has to be Kol Haaretz Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole world belongs to the Holy One, blessed be He. He created the land Unetana. When I got to this word Unetana, you know what it clicked? Never clicked before. You remember number 6 at the top of the page? The Rashi on Unetana. Unetana lach. Rashi's using the same word, Unetana. Should be every day in your eyes like you got it today. And therefore, Rashi goes on, he gave it lasher yashar b'einav, he gave it to the one who was right in his eyes. I happen to love Rashi. I get all choked up sometimes with Rashi. I have a feeling that this Rashi, first Rashi, was really the introduction to his Perush on Chumash. Everybody writes an introduction to a sefer. Where's Rashi's introduction? This is basically his introduction. And I saw recently Reb Simcha Zissel Brady, the Chetzadik Rebbe, was Rashi of Chevron, says that from this Rashi you have to learn that whatever the Rebbeinu Shlomo does in the world is yashar. You may not understand, you may have doubts, you may have questions. When I saw that, I had the feeling that this is Rashi's introduction. You're opening Torah now. You better know that whatever you're going to learn over here is Yashar. The Rebbeinu Shlomo is Yashar. And then I had a second thought about the word Yashar. In an introduction, an author usually gets his name in some place. So, well, Yashar, of course, is Rashi backward. Lasher Yashar Be'enov. What else Rashi is saying is that this is the story, Torah is the story of Yisrael. Yisrael is Yashar Keil. We are the ones who demonstrate to the world that the Rabbeinu Shalom is Yashar. He promised he'd bring back his people to Eretz Yisrael. He sure did it. Then he says, therefore, it was his will that he gave it to them, and then he decided to take it from them and give it to us. There's one other thought in this Rashi, and with that I'm going to close. And it's one here I really get choked up whenever I think about this. And I think you have to be aware of it. You'll look at Rashi differently, you'll look at Torah differently. Rashi was written 900 years ago, 901 years ago, or he was born 901 years ago. I imagine through about 850 years of history, there are many periods in history where a Rebbe is learning with a child or with children, beginning Chumash. I'm going to take one example. The example could have been the Crusades. It could have been the Cossack invasion of the Ukraine and Poland, Gzeres Pachvatat. Could have been times of pogroms in Europe. I'll take one example. Imagine a Rebbe is learning the first Rashi with children in Auschwitz. They're in a children's block. They have absolutely no idea how much longer they have to live. And the Rebbe says, Kinderlach, whatever time we have left, let's learn. Bereishis bara Elokim et hashamayim et haaretz. And he learns the first Rashi. If the nations of the world will accuse us of having stolen Eretz Yisrael, we have to tell them the world belongs to the Rebbeinu Shem. He gave it to us. I imagine a little Yingala turning to his Rebbe, saying, Rebbe, what's Rashi talking about? We may not have more than a few hours to live. Who's ever going to accuse us of having stolen Eretz Yisrael? What are you talking about? We have no place in the world to live anyway. And the Rebbe, certainly with tears coming down his cheeks, will say, Yingala, if Rashi said, then we have to have faith that someday it'll be true. We are the generation that need make no leap of faith in order to learn this Rashi. I used to be upset every time we were condemned by the United Nations or nations of the world. I'm not upset anymore. For years now, I hear a condemnation. We stole, we took, and I say, Rashi emes v'teiros emes. For 850 years, you have to learn Rashi with an emunah that someday will be emes. You know what it means to learn Rashi? When no such great act of faith, no such great leap is necessary, and you can just start off all of Chumash in saying, Rashi was on the mark. Rashi emes v'teiros emes. Moshe emes v'teiros emes. And one final point, because this is the one that usually gets me more upset than others. There's a difference between me and you. The difference is a good few years. I remember the first Yom HaAtzmaut. I remember it. I remember the Six-Day War. I remember Entebbe. These are engraved on my heart and my mind. So when I hear somebody give me, Yom HaTzomes, Yom HaDeh, doesn't have a clue. I'll give you an example. There's a story that I heard from Rav Mati Alon, and that will get you into the feeling of what took place on Yom HaTzomes. He was talking with a Jew who had gone through the concentration camps, and he asked him, what was your most difficult moment during all the years that you were in concentration camp? He thought for a moment and he said, the day of liberation. The day we were liberated. The Rav Matthias, what are you talking about? The day of liberation? She says, yeah, the day of liberation. The American officers had us all line up on that field where we'd have to line up every day for the Germans, Yimach Shimon v'Zichron, and they told us that we're liberated and we're free. And then they started going along. Where are you going to? Going home to Paris. And where were you going to? Ah, going back to the Ukraine. Went down the line. Everybody had a place to go. When they came to me, I had no place to go. Everybody had some place to go. Not me. That was the most difficult moment of all. On Yom HaAtzmaut, Eretz Yisrael became the property of Klal Yisrael. No Jew in the world today who has to be troubled that maybe he has no place where to go. During the Second World War, there was a Yiddish song. Oh, they used to play it on WEVD all the time. Where will I go? Who's going to answer? Every door is closed. Alright, I will make an admission. The end of Schindler's List. They're coming out, they're free. And a horseman comes up. And he says to them, don't go to the east. They don't want you. Don't go to the west. They don't want you. And then they begin the march to Eretz Yisrael. Don't ever take Eretz Yisrael for granted. Don't think because you have 9 hours and 45 minutes you get here, you lose a sense of the awesome matana that the Rebbe Shem has given for this generation. I couldn't care less how you mark it or how you celebrate it, as long as you know it and you feel it with your whole neshama, and you can say Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Toda Rabah.